The CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phones, BlackBerry, and WebOS phones. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
Are you ready, Steve?
Uh-huh.
Andy?
Yeah!
Bert? Well, all right, fellas. Well, let's go!
You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/CFRN. Over 85,000 titles. Choose from mystery, romance, religion, science, technology, business, New York Times bestsellers, even children's books. You name it, Audible has it. With 85,000 titles to choose from, you're sure to find the perfect audiobook for yourself or to give as a gift, and it's absolutely free. Just point your browser to audibletrial.com/CFRN. That's audibletrial.com/CFRN. And become a part of the audiobook revolution by downloading your free audiobook today. audibletrial.com/CFRN.
Hey, trader, want to get rich quick? Well, good luck with that. If, on the other hand, you actually want to learn how to trade, the place to be is www.cfrn.net. Tune in Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern, for our daily devotional, and then spend the next 3 hours learning how it's done from professional traders who actually trade for a living. That's www.cfrn.net. Every trading day from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living.
Good afternoon, traders, and welcome back to the CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast. This is the daily broadcast of indeterminate length where we discuss all things E-Mini along with some really big ideas on the finer points of trading gold, bonds, crude, sugar, the euro, and even T-bills. Joining us today from our studios in Boston, Mr. Michael Bork. From our trading desk in Chicago, Mr. Burton Schlichter. And from our studios in Las Vegas, Nevada, Mr. David Williams. Now, to get things started, let's go to our host and founder in Studio A, overlooking South Mountain, America's largest city park. Here's Dwayne.
Good afternoon. Welcome back. Today is Tuesday, 20th day of November, 2012. The Dow's up 3, S&P's up 2, comps up 2, crude is down 202, and gold down $3.70. Hewlett Packard today trading at 10-year lows. There's some accounting fraud with a company they bought called Autonomy. They paid $11 billion, that's B as in billion, that's right. No more of those million-dollar deals, everything's $1 billion now. You want something, it's $1 billion. So $11 billion company, accounting fraud, 10-year lows, it's all they can talk about on TV. So maybe it's, I guess we shouldn't make it all we can talk about on radio. We have a fiscal cliff coming up, and we have Ben Bernanke coming to the stand to talk to the American people, or talk to the world, in about 10 minutes. Art Cashin says that the deadline for the fiscal cliff is quickly approaching, and Congress has yet to present a deal. Art, tell us something we don't know. Art says, Friday and Monday we saw big rallies in the stock market. Okay, Art. Art says some people are attributing it to optimism that a deal will soon get done. That's what we heard. Art says, where's this optimism coming from? Well, we heard that it was coming from Capitol Hill, but Art says that Washington's a ghost town right now. He says there's nobody there. There's no one in Washington throwing rocks at the conciliatory beginning of the fiscal cliff talks. That was primarily because there's no one left in Washington to throw rocks. But no rocks is no rocks, and so stocks have rallied now for 2 days. But ahead of this talk from Ben, where he may inform the world that he doesn't have the power to avert this fiscal cliff. And I don't know that, I haven't heard anything from the president that says he really wants to avoid it either. I think, guys, this is starting to look a whole lot like Thelma and Louise. Yeah, right? You remember that?
Yeah.
This is one of the most classic movie endings ever. All right. Well, I got an email from Mike Reed. He said he wants to come on today, so I'm going to just go ahead and let you do the recap. He says,
okay.
I don't know if you get my emails. Well, Mike, yesterday we were talking about you getting your new iPhone 5, coming out of the Stone Age, entering the world of technology. So I get your emails, buddy. I just don't always have time to respond to them. And for that, I'm truly sorry. And I'm truly sorry to all of you who sometimes send emails or comments or whatnots, and I don't always respond. Or as someone said, hardly ever. Okay. It's not because I don't try, and it's not because I'm not working a lot of hours and trying to do the right thing. I am. Trust me. But there's only so many hours in a day. And that's it. That's my story. I'm sticking to it. Oh, before Mike does the recap, listen up. This is important. On Thanksgiving Day, if all goes according to plans, CFRN will launch a second channel. The second channel will stream through January 15th. The second channel will play all Christmas music all the time, 24/7. It will be a blend of Christian Christmas music and contemporary Christmas music. Your Burl Ives, your Frank Sinatra, all the stuff that makes you feel warm and fuzzy at the holidays. You'll be roasting chestnuts over open fires, all of that stuff. Jingle bells, you got it. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to be a part of the channel, of the CFRN Christmas channel. We've never done this before. This will be our first Christmas in 7 years that we've launched a separate stream. I've been asked in the past, hey, could we have Christmas music on the radio during the holidays? Well, this year, you're getting it. You're not getting it just some of the time. You're getting it all the time. We'll still be broadcasting our regular channel, but we'll have another channel, and you'll be able to access it from the homepage of CFRN with how many clicks? Just one. One-click access. You can listen to all of those songs that stir up the memories, but I want you to be a part of it, and here's how you do it. Write this down. I'm going to put it in the chat room, but if you write it down, you might actually do it. Call 415-857-5654. 415-857-5654. Leave a message, okay? You're going to get our voicemail. I want you to leave a message, a holiday message. If you leave an ugly message, I'll just delete it. But if you leave a nice message like, hi, this is Jim from South Dakota. Me and Mary and all the kids want to wish everybody in the CFRN audience a Merry Christmas. That kind of message. If you leave that kind of message, I'll save it as an MP3 and it'll get uploaded to the Christmas channel stream. So you'll be kicking back with your family over the holidays, listening to some music, and all of a sudden, boom, you're on the radio. Right? I'm telling you, it's your 15 minutes. Well, it's more like 15 seconds. But make the most of it, all right? So if you like CFRN, you can call and leave that message. You can, if you have a prayer request, you can leave that. If you have a praise report, you can leave that. If you mess up, you can hang up and do it again. Or hit the button that says, don't deliver this, redo it. You know, that kind of thing. Don't tie up the line for an hour trying to get a 15-second blurb right. But do call 415-857-5654. Don't worry about using your best speaking voice. Just, you know, pour your heart out. Let us hear some excitement. Tell us what's going on in your life. If you need to take a minute, you can, or a minute and a half. I'll even give you 2 minutes if you want. If you got something to say, you want to read a little scripture, you want to share something from the heart, just do it. 415-857-5654. We will launch that on Christmas, on Thanksgiving Day, if I get it all finished in time. If not, then hopefully by Friday. So, I need you to make the calls so I can burn the MP3s, so I can get them uploaded to the server, and blah, blah, blah. Okay? All right. 415-857-5654. Your chance for your 15 seconds of holiday fame. Michael, take it away.
All right. I will grab it. Here we go. All right, everyone should be looking at my charts now.
We got them.
Excellent. Excellent. Let me just do one more thing here. Oops, that's not the thing I meant to do. This is what I meant to do. And I'll slide this over here. All right. Sorry. Just a little organization on my desktop here so I don't confuse myself while I'm doing this. All right. Now let me start the recording up, and then we'll go through our day. All right. Good afternoon, everyone. Today is Tuesday, November 20th, 2012. And we're going to go over the results to start with, okay? On crude oil, we had plus 29 ticks. On the ES, we had plus 4 ticks. On gold, we had plus 5 ticks. On the NQ, we had plus 2 ticks. And on the Russell, we had a minus 1 tick. I wanted to get that Russell back positive so it'd be green all the way across, but unfortunately, we're minus a tick. We didn't get the opportunity in the time that I was looking for. I only had a few minutes left in the morning session. There was an opportunity that happened. You know, I'll start with the Russell. I'll start with the Russell today. Okay, this spot right here, right at the end of the morning session, I could have gotten long right in there, but I know I would have felt like I was forcing the trade, just trying to get an extra tick so I could get green on the morning. But you can see right in there was an opportunity. There was another one right over here on the upside. Okay. And another one. Well, we actually didn't have any more on the upside, did we? No, we didn't. The trend line ended up being way up here. Okay, we never got an up close above that trend line until the black was down below. So, let me, I didn't want to do that. Let me shrink it a little bit. Now, if you have not taken a free trial with us, go to www.cfrn.net/apply. Sign up for our free trial. In our free trial, you get 5 business days in our live trading room. In the live trading room, you get access to everything that you see here. We only ask for your name and your email address when you sign up. We don't ask for anything else. No credit card information required, nothing like that. You know, you won't have a whole bunch of people calling you. Anything like that. Just be me. Maybe. With the free trial, you get everything that you sign up. I mean, everything that you see in here this morning. You get 5 days in our live trading room. That's 2 hours per day for each business morning. We are taking Thursday and Friday off this week, so you will not get Thursday and Friday, but you'll still get 5 business days. And that's it. That's how we roll. All right. Let's just show you the trade setups this morning. Now, I'm going to start off just by identifying the basic trade setup, okay? I'll do it right over here on the one that I took this morning. This is the Russell. Now, there were a couple of trade setups that I took here this morning, one win and one loss. There were a bunch of things that actually set up, but what you look for is like a bearish cross right here of the MA1, which is this red and blue line, down below the green line, which we call the BBC. You look for price to pull back up and test the BBC and then close down in the direction of the cross. Now, typically, you would look for divergence to be in favor of the trade as well. In this case right here, I took the close down below this trend line I had drawn up here as it was approaching the BBC and took profit on that. I was anticipating that it would move down to the prior swing, which was right there, and that's exactly what it did. It moved exactly down to the prior swing. I had put my target one tick above the prior swing, and that's where it filled me. That is one trade setup. The other one, you see, you look for your bullish cross. Price pulls back down, tests the BBC, gives an up close in the direction of the cross, and you have bullish divergence down here. Divergence is identified by this green line down here on the slingshot, moving away from the cycle, okay, like it did right there. That's an opportunity to get long right in there. Now, everywhere in here where you see these trend lines that I've drawn, you know, I was drawing those live this morning in the live trading room. I wasn't able to take trades on every single one of these, but I went over this in yesterday's meeting, yesterday's recap. This is the Russell, and in the first half hour or so, the first hour, there were plenty of opportunities to take profit in here. Okay, I actually ended up down one tick because I took this one, and I missed all the other ones in here that were winning trades. There were a bunch more that happened during the morning, but I took this one and this one. I ended up minus one tick on the Russell. Okay, now that's the Russell four tick range chart. There was a comment this morning about how fast everything was moving, and it does move fast on a four-tick range chart. It can move fast on a four-tick range chart. It doesn't always move fast on a four-tick range chart. as I say that, gold is moving very fast on the four-tick range chart. There's just a trading opportunity right here on the gold. But you can open this up to whatever time frame you want and apply the same principles to whatever time frame you want. Okay, it's pretty standard across all the time frames, all the markets, whatever you want to do. All right, and I showed that in the live trading room this morning. All right, now let's move on to markets. The crude oil. Let's look at crude. I'm going to look at crude a little more in depth this morning because, well, we got 29 ticks on it, but also because it was really moving. It started out being, not great. It moved, it moved pretty well right here. If you were just looking to make, the equivalent of 2 points on the ES in your day, you would have been done right in here. The first 10, 15 minutes, you would have been done. Again, the same exact theory applies. Bullish cross, tested the BBC, up close. You could have gotten long in there. Did it again right here. The up close was on this bar right here, was the up close, and you had bullish divergence down there. Okay. Could have done it again right there. You could have waited for the up close over the trend line and gotten in there. Did it again right here, same bullish divergence. Could have gotten long right in there. I missed all of that, okay? I noticed it when it really started to move over here, and then I started trading it. We pulled back over here toward the BBC, but we didn't pull all the way to it. We had some bearish divergence. Now, when this happens, and you don't actually hit the BBC and get the down close, I drew this trend line in here, and I was taking the close below the trend line. All right, because that is continuing the trend. When it breaks this little short-term pullback, it's continuing the longer-term trend. So I jumped in there. It pulled back again. I jumped in here. It pulled back again. I missed that one. Pulled back again. I missed that one. Pulled back again. I didn't take this one. I don't remember what was going on, but I didn't take that. I missed this one right over here. And I took this one. This was the last trade that I took in here this morning. It attempted a pullback to the BBC, and it closed down right here. I took that for 10 ticks. That was the end of my morning trading on the crude oil. But you can see, that wasn't the end of my morning trading. The end of my morning trading was right over here. You can see there were many other opportunities in here. All these trend lines that I drew all those trend lines, at least most of them I drew in real time when they were actually happening. This was the last trade that I took this morning. I got 10 ticks out of this one. I don't think I got 10 ticks out of this one. I think I got like 5 out of that one. But I did get 10 out of this one. And you can see then we went into the break, and right before the break, I was saying it looks like it wants to move up here, and it did have a nice move up. All right, after the move up, it got very choppy in here. There were no indications at all one way or the other in here because it was flipping back and forth above and below the BBC. It had this big move down right here. Trading off of this, you would have been looking for... This was during the break, but I'll just show you anyway. That's your trend line right there. So you would have been looking for a close down below that trend line, which would have been right here. Had a little drawdown on it, but then you can see the result. You know, and crude oil, as Dwayne had said a little while ago, is just tanking right now because the tensions in the Middle East seem temporarily to have eased. So crude oil is just tanking right here. And that was the crude. We ended up plus 29 ticks on the crude this morning. Okay, plus 29. Let me slide that one over. I'll bring the gold in here. I only took one trade on the gold. And what did we end on gold? Plus 5 ticks. Okay. It was right in here. I was talking in here how I had taken trades on every dom that I had opened except for gold. Here was the gold trade. Okay. Look at the same exact things here, guys. This is a 4-tick range on gold. That last chart was a 4-tick range on crude oil. The one before that was a 4-tick range on the Russell. Same indicator set, same trend line, same everything. You know, I took this trade right over here this morning on gold. It was 11 o'clock. It pulled back up, tested the BBC, gave a close below that trend line. I got short, took some profit, and that was it. That was my one trade on gold. All right. The crude oil, you know, it was $290 per contract is what we made on the crude oil. There was a lot more to be made than that. But yesterday I went through and I tried to show yesterday how on the Russell, if you had taken, you know, the Russell trades and only taken 30% of the available profit that was available on the trades that were available in only the first 40 minutes yesterday, that you could have had over, you know, over $300 a contract in profit. Today it was crude oil. You know, well, you could have done it on, you know, you could have done it here on gold too. During the break right here, I had a nice move down, and you can see over and over again. Not so much that one. Did we have bearish divergence? We did have bearish divergence in there. But over and over again, you can see in here that the thing is just going down and down and down. And you have all these divergences down here on the bottom. All right. So the same thing is working here on gold that was working on crude, that worked on the Russell, that I'll show you works on soybeans, works everywhere. Okay, so we took, that's three of the markets we took profit on. I want to show you the 4-tick range ES. Okay, and I'm going to end with soybeans. A fella had called, okay, Mike, I see you're in there. A fella had called earlier, earlier today and asked if we trade the grains or soybeans, and the answer is yes. I tried to call you back. There was no answer, but the answer is yes, and I'll show you that in a minute. Now, on the ES, this is the 4-tick range. I'll show you what why I didn't want to take ES trades on the 10,000 contract, but on the 4-tick range, there were trades available in here. This was after the open. We came up the same thing, 4-tick range. You're testing the BBC, getting a down close, bearish divergence below the trend line. Bang. Right here, you got a bullish cross, pullback, test of the BBC, up close, bullish divergence, bang. Another one right here, pullback, close above the trend line, bullish divergence, up. Test, bullish divergence, close above the trend line. I actually took that one. I took 4 ticks on that. Right here, you had it pull down, pull back up, test the BBC. You never got the down close here. On the short side, you never got the down close, okay? So you weren't going short. You get a bullish cross, pulls back, tests the BBC, gives an up close. You don't have any divergence in here, so what do you wait for? A close above the trend line. Okay. That's your trend line right there. This is the close above it. So you get long right in there, and up it goes. That was the ES on the 4-tick range. Now, in the live trading room this morning, I said I didn't want to take trades off the 10,000 contract ES until we broke out of... until we broke out of the range that I had drawn on there in these blue bars. This was the Globex range that was put in, and we had no trend. We were just going sideways in that range all morning. Okay. So I had said in the live trading room pretty early on, like right over here somewhere in the live trading room, I said, I'm not taking any trades on the ES10000 contract until we get out of here. And we didn't get out of there all morning. Okay. It happened to get out of there right after the close of our morning session. Okay. But I'm not interested in taking any trades in there. I didn't even look at the YM today. All right. Let's see. I covered crude oil, gold, the NQ. Did I cover the NQ? I think I did. Anyway, the NQ, we ended up plus two ticks on the NQ. We were up a little better at one point. We had a break-even trade there. We had a winning trade there, a winning trade there, and I was pretty sure I had a losing trade somewhere. But, again, it's the four-tick range chart, and all the trade setups are exactly the same. You're looking for the breaks of these little short-term trend lines. You're looking for a test of the BBC with bullish divergence, with the up close, you know, when that opportunity presents itself. It just happens again and again and again. All right, right in here. Oops, there's one. Right in here, there's another one. You know, the opportunities are all over the place in here. And, you know, and it was a low-volume day. Across the board, I think we had pretty low volume today. I suspect tomorrow will be even lower, but, you know, I also suspect we'll have plenty of opportunities tomorrow. So, that was the NQ. We ended up plus a couple of ticks on the NQ. Now, I wanted to show you soybeans. We didn't actually trade soybeans this morning. I closed my soybean dom and opened up the Russell dom instead. Right before the open of the beans, I asked Dwayne what he thought about the beans, and he said we have an outstanding tweet on the beans to go long above 1404. Okay, you can see that happened, that triggered during the break here. But I also wanted to show you in here, excuse me, I want to show you in here the things that I went over in the live trading room this morning. This was before the soybeans actually opened. They opened right in here at 10:30, all right? And I had said, this is the trend line. An up close above that trend line should work out pretty well. And it did. It worked out pretty well for a couple of cents. I drew another trend line in here, but I said, I don't like this one because the black line had moved down below the BBC on the pullback. So I didn't do anything in there. But when we got this one, I said right in here, a good spot to go long on that up close. And that went from 87 and a quarter all the way up to 91.75 for four and a half cents. Dwayne had suggested, when I had suggested going long here, Dwayne had suggested we'd see some resistance here at 91. We did see the resistance. I had drawn this in here when he said it, but it actually ran right up there as he was saying it. And then it retraced, and right over here, the trend line happened to be way over here. You know, we had bullish divergence and a test of the BBC. You could have gotten in right here. It would have been a little more risky because the cycle was red and headed down. But I had suggested just waiting for the up close above the trend line, which was right in here. I said 91.50, and from the 91.50, it added on up here to the next peak was 93.75, another 2.25 cents. So what are we at? That's 7 cents. It pulled back again. I had suggested another long trade right in here, 93 and a quarter, and that one ran up. And then I stopped looking at soybeans. But from the 93 and a quarter, it ran up to 97.76. So what were we at, 7? Let's just call it 12 cents possible in there in the first half hour that the soybeans were open. Okay, that's the equivalent of 12 points on the ES. And that's just following what we do in the live trading room, okay? Everybody that was in there in the live trading room this morning saw me do all that. Watch me talk about it anyway. I didn't actually place the trades because I didn't have the DOM open for that one. I only have 5 DOMs that I can trade on right here. And all 5 of them were traded on today. And that was that. I'm going to wrap up a little early right here because I know we got Mike Reed in the background waiting to come on. So I want to suggest to anyone that is a partner, have a happy Thanksgiving if we don't see you tomorrow. And for anyone who's in on the free trial, you should have something in your inbox telling you how to become a partner, what it takes to become a partner. If you do not have something in your inbox, send us, and you want to become a partner, send us an email at support@cfrn.net, support@cfrn.net. Just put partner info in the subject line, and I will get you everything you need to know. You may even have a Black Friday special going on. Send off a request to us if you're interested in that, and you don't have it in your inbox, okay? And last thing, there was something else I was going to mention, everybody. But anyway, I'll get back to it. There's no partner meeting this week. One thing about anybody that's considering becoming a partner over this long weekend, if you become a partner, you know, you'll have ample opportunity to get into the members area and start reviewing the hundreds of hours of videos that we have in there. literally, we have over 200 hours of videos in there. You can take advantage of all that over the weekend if you would like. All right. That said, I'm going to wrap it up, and we'll move on to the rest of the day. All right. Again, support@cfrn.net, or if you have any questions, or cfrn.net/apply if you want to take the free trial and you haven't. All right. That's it. Recording
all right.
is stopped.
Thank you very much, Michael. Appreciate that. All right. Has Mike shown up yet?
Mike, I believe he's here.
Hi, Dwayne. Hi, Michael.
There he is. Hey, Mike.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you, Dwayne.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah,
yes.
That's...
Mike?
Yes,
can
I
hear
can.
You? Mike. No, I'm just teasing. I was just joking around. I got your email. So, dude, you went from no smartphone to an iPhone 5. You went right to the head of the class.
Right? I guess.
Did I read that right?
I guess. I didn't know what the other end was. But I tell you.
Congratulations. Well, what do you think?
I'm amazed. This is like, for me, Dwayne, it's like something that was thought would be ideal many, many years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But I never thought it possible. But just to be able to touch a screen and with barely any movement or any pressure to move around on that, it's really nice. And even the voice part of it is you can just speak to it and bring up whatever you want just about. So, yeah, I'm working my way around. There's an awful lot to learn. But, it's a lot different than my phone from 1980s. About as big as a brick and just as heavy.
Dial on it.
So, yeah, really nice, really nice.
And they actually cost about the same. That brick phone that you speak of, that thing wasn't cheap.
This is where I have trouble breaking up. So,
not only was the brick phone not cheap. But it cost a lot per minute to use.
That's true. Except for landline now is part of the package with tied in with the TV, internet connection, etc. Pretty much went. I think the landline was just about free for most calls, but still, that happened to lug around our old run out big old phone versus this one. Really nice.
So do you get a good signal where you live?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, the stuff that streams is so fast. You just, faster than my PC, I think. At least a few of them.
Could be, yeah. It's possible.
But, yeah, it's something else, Wayne. welcome to the new world, I guess.
Yeah, pretty exciting. It's, well, what do you think about this
very
market?
Much.
You know, and there's a lot of apps, too, as you get in. I mean, you just got the thing a few days ago, so you'll be learning stuff a year from now. You'll find new features and things you didn't know was there, but you know, there's a whole world of apps out there, a lot of financial apps. You can keep, you know, an eye on the markets and charts. Some of them are free. Some of them you pay for. Some brokers provide them. Daniel's Trading has an app coming out, so... Yeah,
okay.
You're going to really enjoy that thing. And then, and plus you open yourself up to the whole world of podcasts and the radio station. You can listen to the radio
over
your iPhone by downloading the app. Well, actually, by next, what I'm working on is over the next week, I'm switching from the Windows Media format to the AAC format, which is actually the iTunes format. So on an iPhone 5, next week, in theory, you'll just be able to go straight to the station and listen. But for those folks who maybe don't have a Windows-based phone but have an Android-based phone, you'll still be able to use an app called TuneIn Radio. It's a great app. It's free, or you can get the Pro version, which allows you to record as well. But with the TuneIn Radio app, you just open it up, search CFRN, it brings it up, save it as one of your favorites, it becomes your right there on your home page, and when you hit it, the radio station just starts streaming. During the live broadcast, like we're doing right now, there are folks out there listening to the show via the iTunes radio app on their iPhone and on their Android phones. So you'll find, there's radio stations around the world and podcasts that cover every topic you ever dreamed of or could possibly imagine. It's amazing. It's just amazing. And so that's one of the things I really enjoy about my iPhone and my iPad is the wealth of information that's available, not just searching, and using the internet in the traditional way that we do, but in listening to people and their thoughts and their ideas, and it's just, yeah, I love it.
Well, so I'm gonna give you a call, Dwayne. So, you can help me through some of this.
I'll be happy to. Yeah, absolutely. I'll be happy to do
it. To find the podcast and stuff, that'd be interesting.
Put that thing on speakerphone. Tell it to call Dwayne, and it'll just do it.
Yeah, I can do that. I got you in there, so you're ready to go.
Good. All right, man. So what do you think about this market?
I think the rally's about had it here. Probably is. And let's see. 3 days up, 2 days was... Well, we got... let me back up first. We got into last Thursday. Thursday was low. And we're at 46, 47 points off of that. Everything was, my indicators were all into a buy, almost, compressed and just needed, we needed a spark. We got that on Friday when they came out with, the news. With when Boehner began speaking and, that shot up and then yesterday was basically a trend up day, opened up 12 points and that didn't fill, the gap didn't fill. So then we ran a high made today at noon. That's going to be tough to get above and hold on that. 1388. We had 1386 and a quarter. And then there's a 1388 was the last number in front of some stuff in the 90s, but I don't think we're going to get there. I think that we probably hit our top at noon. Let me see. For support, there's, give me 1 second, right?
Okay.
So,
we've got 74.75 below us for support. Mm-hmm. If it can get down there, yeah. We've had such a small range today.
Right.
This thing may be done for the holiday.
Yeah. The key area, I think that going down to the 72 area, if that's a Westler, like 10 plus points below.
Yeah.
That, I'd be in front of the holiday. I don't know. That'd be a washout that you could watch for a spot for this to potentially turn back up again. But as far as if this were to turn back up again, and the internals, if we were to have internals right now that are basically flat, but if we had close to 2,000 advancing issues today. Thereabouts, then I would think we're set up for a several day pullback then after the holiday, after, you know, coming back after a turkey day and the goose might be cooked.
Yeah.
For the rally.
Yeah, historically, Thanksgiving, the markets tend to get a little holiday spirit and rally.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
The markets will open Wednesday afternoon for the Thursday session, and then they will trade until, Michael, is it 9 Eastern that they'll trade to on Thursday morning?
I believe so.
Yeah.
Well, let me check. Let me check and see.
And then, as memory serves, they will reopen Thursday afternoon for the Friday session, and we'll trade Globex Thursday night, and then Friday morning, there'll be an early close as well. And then next Monday, we'll get back to a regular schedule for a couple weeks until the Christmas holiday, followed by the New Year's holiday.
Okay. Tomorrow's a full day, right? Tomorrow?
To the best of my knowledge, so. Tomorrow is a full day.
Yeah.
I am looking right now.
It's a full day for us anyway. We'll be here for the live trading room, and we'll be here for the radio program. And then we'll be done until Monday.
Yeah, we have a regular close tomorrow. Thursday, 10:30 Central Time trading halt. So it's actually 11:30 Eastern. Then equity products resume trading 5 Thursday night. Friday, early CME Globex close for trade date Friday, November 23rd, 12:15 Central Time. So Friday's got an early close. And that's it. That is it. Did you follow all that?
Hey, just a quick question on the settlement, new settlement. The I guess it started yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you guys didn't understand what was what's the reason for that? Instead of 4:15, and they just kind of kept. There was no settlement. Like I saw at 4:15.
Right. Well, so, for you. Wait a minute, for you. You talking Eastern time or Central?
Yeah, right. Eastern time.
Eastern, right. Yeah. For us, they moved the settlement to, they moved it back an hour, basically. They extended it an hour, basically. So, you know, the markets are still going to close at 4:15 Eastern the way that they normally do for 15 minutes or so. But they're not going to settle at that time. They're going to settle the next time they close, which is like an hour later, I believe.
Well, why is that? Is there a good reason for it? Or I mean, seems like Jack settlement with stocks
Jack
close.
Jack is saying settlement time is the same. I thought this was the way it was explained to us yesterday. No, it's I don't know. Apparently, they've been considering this and
actual settlement appeared to be. About an hour later.
Yeah. That's what I
thought. Just seems silly.
Settlement is 5:15 Eastern. That's what I thought too, Frank.
Wow.
The settlement's 5:15 Eastern. The close is still at 4:15 Eastern, and then it opens back up, and then it closes again and settles.
Okay.
So
open a gate, close a gate.
Yeah. Okay. For me,
I must have to clean off the the popcorn and. paper cups.
Okay. Just finish the way you always finish. That's
Well, this seems like the 4:15 settlement with stocks closing at 4 o'clock, and then 4:15 settlement was forever. I don't know why the reason for a change, but anyway.
I don't get it either, but
Well, we covered the reasons yesterday. There was a press release, and one of the listeners had shared that with us, and I read it on air. I don't have it right here at my fingertips, or I would read it again. What it had to do with was basically it has to do with the settlement, making sure everybody's got the right numbers, and that they have changed the curbs. They went from... They went from 10% to 5%. And what I'll do, Mike, is I'll find, I read it on the air yesterday, but I'll find that press release that explained the reason behind it, and I'll send that over to you.
I appreciate that. Thank
sure.
you.
Yeah, if I find it here in my inbox, I'll read it again before the end of the show.
Okay.
Okie doke. Right. Well, let's go out to Vegas, say hello to Mr. David Williams, and give you a chance to say hi before you have to take off. So don't go away, guys. Don't touch that radio dial. We will be right back.
You're listening to CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living. To learn more about who we are, what we do, and how we do it, call toll-free 1-866-928-3310, and we'll send you out a no-obligation information kit absolutely free. 866-928-3310.
Good morning, Dwayne.
Hey, David. Good morning. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. And good morning, Mike Reed. And good morning, Michael Bork.
Good morning, David.
Good morning, David Williams.
Nice to hear your voice. How are you, Mike?
I'm doing great. Thank you. How are you, David?
I'm doing good. I'm looking forward to Thanksgiving.
Very much.
Yeah. You know, if we lived any closer, I'd probably be hanging out after turkey time with you, Mike, watching the videos that we both know.
Okay.
That, you know, you could spend the. You know how after Thanksgiving it's kind of boring. Everyone's out there. You know, they're all
snoozing.
They're snoozing because tryptophan is in turkey, and it makes you tired. Well, we'd be watching Wild Wild West videos. We know where the real deal is. Hey, where's Mike and David, man?
you still gotta buy that jacket, David. And so
I know. You know, I don't think that's probably still for sale. This is what Mike's referring to as many years ago. I think it was Dwayne that pointed out that the jacket for the Wild Wild West, the guy James West, that was actually for sale. It might have been $7,500 or $9,000 or something like that. And it really is a piece of TV memorabilia. There's no question about it. I would find it difficult to believe that somebody had not already picked that up. For people who really collect that type of thing, and there are people who really do collect that kind of thing and make a whole life out of collecting everything that had to do with that. You can really reduce your life down to just meaninglessness if you want to. But it'd be interesting to see if somebody did pick that up. And, you know, where it is, what it's all about. You know, Robert Conrad is still alive and well. He has, you know, a whole family. I believe he's in his, I'm not sure, but I'm thinking he probably is in his 70s at this point. Not sure of his date of birth. But, you know, I've said this before, and it's a little weird to say, but I thought he was a really handsome man. And, you know, when I look back on TV and I look at all the different people, you know, from men's viewpoint, it's hard sometimes, you know, to judge other men. But I always thought, and we're talking about the program, The Wild Wild West, I always thought, now here's a guy, this is a really good-looking guy. And, you know, I said that with admiration. This is just one of those things where you just look at somebody and go, yeah, that's actually, I mean, anybody can look at Brad Pitt and say, yeah, you can see how he's this or that or the other. But I always thought James West in this particular role was really a great looking guy and a great fit that part with Artemis Gordon to the T. You know, you just couldn't find two people that, you know, bounced off each other better than these two in that program.
Artie was a poor. Artie, you put him up next to Artemis Gordon, and I think Dracula looks good. Well, maybe not, but.
Well, you know. I loved Artemis Gordon. I thought he was great as well. He was a very talented guy, you know, very, very talented. And he, I don't think he had a long life. I think he, maybe somebody knows, but I think he passed away you know, some number of years after that program stopped, or maybe 10 or 15 years after, Dr. Miguelito Loveless, the little short guy, I forgot what his name was, but very talented guy, another little man that was, you know, very, very talented. He had some kind of spinal issue or something else that he had to deal with his whole life, and I don't know when and where, how long he lived, but I don't think he's still with us either. But Robert Conrad is. I think he may have been in some kind of an accident and had hurt the left side or the right side of his body, but he's still moving along pretty good and has sons and daughters and I think all that stuff going on. So anyway, just a little interesting tidbit there.
Yeah.
I'd like to see if that stuff is still around, though. You remember that, Dwayne, with the little jacket?
Yeah. I do remember that, and I'm trying to remember where it was for sale. It wasn't on eBay.
You were trying to get me to buy it.
James West.
Hey, man, you're trying to get me to buy a James West jacket. You know.
Sale. Yeah, I thought it would. I thought it would look very nice. On you, James West. What was the name of the show again?
Wild Wild West.
Wild Wild West. See, Mike, you wouldn't have to type it in. You would just be able to speak it into your iPhone 5.
Yeah, that's right.
James, oh wait, this can't be true. Christie's.com. That would be Christie's, the auction house.
Oh.
James West, more Wild Wild West smoking jacket. $1,100.
The smoking jacket? Okay.
Image not available. This is a custom-made rust silk velvet smoking jacket worn by Robert Conrad as James West in the CBS television series. This isn't the one we looked at before, and this one doesn't have an image available. We were looking at the one, a little tight form-fitting. I'll look to see if it's still out there. Oh, Jim West jacket on eBay. Maybe this is it. Nope. This item has been removed, so I guess somebody bought it. Yeah, I'm sorry.
You had your chance. No, I know. You know, there's some things, sometimes it's you just have to let that trade go. That deal would have been to buy that jacket and then to find the guy that is collecting all the memorabilia about that program.
Yeah.
That's the trade. So.
You know there's only a guy out there somewhere.
Oh, there's no doubt. Oh, there's no doubt at all. I mean, there's lots of people like that.
They hoard cats and rats and other things. Yeah, TV.
People collect anything and everything.
Yeah.
You know.
Even old stock charts and stuff. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, some of the weirder ones will collect stock charts and study them.
Yeah. Well,
those people yes.
What's the S&P going to do here?
Over the next several hours, nothing. It's Thanksgiving. Everyone's gone. And so it's going to trade very quietly. It wants to test 88, which is a level in our panel today, and they're trying to do it. We're in the on-time hour right now for 88. The last hour did 87.50. Yep. It's quiet, very low volatility. If they were able to get up there, I'd be interested in possibly doing something from that level. And so I'm going to – we'll see. Let's let them show us because when the volatility gets very small, people have left. I think the volume – Dwayne, maybe one of you have the volume there for today's market.
Yep. Hang on just a second.
We'll see if that's reflecting – what we're seeing here, which is very quiet.
Well,
trend.
You know, let me go over to a daily chart. Pull it up on a daily chart instead of an hourly, and I have to add it up.
There's the support on 83.5, and that's The last swing, that last little swing low.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, if they hold here,
is 600 or 927,000. So we haven't broke a million yet.
Yeah, so it is quiet. I'm not sure there's a lot to do here today. We talked yesterday about the idea that the market would probably, or we'll put it this way, it's not a forecast, but I wouldn't be surprised to see us in the early to mid-90s before the move is over. But that's not really a forecast. That's just a general idea. More specifically for us today, we would have liked to have, we attempted to earlier to buy the market for the run up to 88, which again is, we're currently, give me just a moment here. We're currently in the, in today's fourth hour. This is the on time hour for the 88. So, you know, if on this hour or the next they were to get up there, I'd be interested at least to see what they're able to do with those at that level. More important above, you know, 88 to 89, right in that area. We didn't quite get there yet today, so we'll see, you know, with the market real quiet like this, there's not a lot to do. You're not going to miss a lot. So if the last hour high of 87.50, if that was it, if that was all they could do, you know, there'll be some trading opportunity a little bit later today, perhaps, excuse my throat today, on the possibly on the downside. So that's all I really have for the S&P.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got the longer term and some other things, but basically just for today, I'm thinking we're beginning to see the end of the week in trading, you know, right here.
Yeah.
We'll probably see very quiet market movement tomorrow as well. I know that Ben Bernanke or somebody is speaking. There may be some reaction off of that. Dwayne, you would know perhaps about that.
He's talking right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
We've considered forward guidance, communication, very important. That's just what they're flashing. Methods of forward guidance have evolved over time. And gold is down $8. It's down about probably $5 since he started talking. Bill went out on the internet there. It's a wonderful thing, the internet. And he found that suit for you if you still want it. One of them.
Oh.
It's not the same one, but it's one of them.
You know, I have to adore the listeners of the radio program.
No,
that somebody would take the trouble to go out and find me little, you know, the Wawa West smoking or whatever jacket that was, his little vest.
Oh. I think you can get pants with that, David.
Well, was it the jacket and the pants? I don't remember, Dwayne. Was it
the jacket? I didn't see the jacket before, but
I think they
found his pants.
I think they found his pants.
this is the whole con- yeah. This is the whole outfit here.
Wow.
Okay, let me take a look here with you. So that's the outfit. So someone has not purchased that.
This
yet.
Is a different one. The other one that was for sale was sort of a greenish color.
Had a reflective way seminar, David.
And this is when
he show up.
That's I would show up in one of those.
This is the episode he wore it in right here.
Okay.
It actually is his. It's got his name in it. So.
Oh.
Let's see. He was a. Let's keep.
Well, this has to be worth some money. This has to be worth $9,000 or something. What is this?
He had a 30-inch waist. He had a 30-inch waist, so it was a slim. I think they wanted $10,000.
Oh, there it is. Estimate $10,000. There it is. Okay.
Yep.
Well.
Well, that is interesting. You know, there is a part of me that just the back of your mind, you think, well, should I have that? Should I own that?
Yeah.
Would that be good to do?
Yeah.
You know. All right, when's the darn auction?
It says the lot was passed, so I don't know if it's – the website is liveauctioneers.com, so you can go there and check it out. It doesn't
Okay, well, that's very good. Thank you, whoever went and did that.
Bill,
I appreciate
thank you,
that.
Bill.
That's very nice of you. All right, so we've got – what would you like me to do, Dwayne?
Well, you already talked about the S&P. You want to go to gold?
Sure.
Guys, can I –
All right, Mike, take care, buddy.
You can.
Okay. David,
Mike,
good talking
nice,
to you.
Nice to chat with you. Mike, I hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving.
Thank you. You too.
Yeah, Thanksgiving, Mike.
You too, Michael. Dwayne, is it okay if I get in touch with you on the weekend?
Absolutely, man. Just give me a call. You got my number. Up.
Okay.
Just tell
Sarita. Right,
call Dwayne and she'll do it.
Okay.
All right.
You guys and your family, I all have a great Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
And
same
listening
to you.
Audience, too.
You and all your family. Tell Julie, especially Julie, tell her I said happy Thanksgiving and the kids, of course. And I'll talk
most
to you
definitely.
Over the holiday.
Okay.
All
right. Thanks. Take care.
Thanks. See you, Mike. You know, we can take a little bit, maybe we take a minute more, Dwayne, on the S&P. Let's just take a little bit further look at it. I'm trying to think if there's anything else. I didn't sleep that well last night, which is rare for me. Trying to see if there's anything else that we are missing that I'd want to talk about here. First of all, the general idea, like we talked about it going up somewhat further. Even though we may have some pullbacks, I wouldn't be surprised to see us pull back and test some levels and whatnot. But for us, the bigger picture, longer-term picture, you know, out into the monthly and quarterly, is still bullish. We'd like to see the month of November close above 57, which was the first roadmap target on the downside from 1406 or whatever the level was for that particular roadmap. the 57 level, if they close above that, that's a good indication that the internals, in the way that we look at things, the internals are still there on the bullish side. So we'll see how that plays out at the end of November. Let's see. There might be one or two other things. I just wanted to glance around here. We do have, there is a potential of some interesting stuff. Like as an example, we have a natural level for tomorrow with 1372. Now we're up at 83. I think Mike had mentioned something about 72. But, you know, with the holiday and with the volatility and the whole thing, I think it might be wise to, you know, just trade it carefully and realize you may have to sit with the position for quite some time because of, you know, the market may make one fast move and then the day is over. You know, the rest of the day is you watching a very, very quiet market. And there's got to be something more important to do with your time than just watch a very quiet market. I would hope. I'm hoping there's something more important for me to do than simply watch a quiet market. So I think that's it, though, Dwayne. Yeah, the bigger picture for us is we're still bullish. We still like the idea that, like I said, the close above 57 would be the stronger position. The bigger target on the upside, much longer term for us, we still believe the market is likely going to, it's not an outright forecast, but it's likely going to go up and do 15-15. So we'll talk about this. You know, this really leads us into next week, really, more or less. So we'll have to wait, and I'll be here tomorrow as well, and we'll put it together as best we can, depending on the market volatility and whatnot. Remember, the volatility is the juice, is the thing that makes the market tradable, because the market moves up and down, and we can make or lose money on that movement. So with the volatility getting very, very quiet, it gets less and less likely to do what's normal for it. Until volatility returns. But even the absence of volatility is normal. It happens from time to time because volatility is cyclical just as much as anything else. So all of this is just, you know, the whole thing is tied together. When we use phrases and say things like, well, this is the normal thing to happen, it's really more or less true, but there's other things other than what we're looking at. You know, the world's bigger than what we're looking at. It's more of a preference of how we like to see things happen. That you could interpret that. But, like, let me give you an example here leading out into the future. You know, next week leads us into the, you know, what are the dates? Are we into the week of the 23rd next week? I'm not sure if we are or not. Let me check my calendar. Yes, we are. And actually, next week is the 26th. So the 23rd would be Friday. So, yeah, we have stuff leading into the 23rd. Of importance, and but I'm not going to put it out because the markets are going to be closed. It may. I don't want to throw people off with the holiday. So, but without having said that, we would have some interesting setups into the 23rd, the 23rd slash the 26th, the Friday, Monday that's coming up here. We all return on Monday, so there may be some opportunity to trade that, and we'll take a look at that at that time. But I would, I'll basically give you a little bit out here that, you know, without the holiday, with just a normal week and stuff, I would be looking, depending on a few factors here, but I'd be looking for a retest of the 54 to 56 level, and that would be very tradable, I think. So we'll have to just wait and see how the market plays out with, again, with the quiet volatility and whatnot here. So we'll put it together more when we get back on Monday. So, Duane, do you have anything you want to add to the S&P or?
Nope, not a thing. If the market does decide to drop on anything Bernanke has to say or any other news that comes out, we've got 74.75 below us as support, and we've still got two zones overhead for resistance. So I think it's just going to be pretty quiet right on in through the holiday, and hopefully Monday we'll see some volatility return.
Yeah.
Until Christmas week, and then it's going to go quiet again.
Yeah. with regard to gold, we don't have a whole lot to add right now on gold. We have a much longer-term multi-month roadmap that has been issued in gold. but you know what? It's not really that important to trade it right now anyway because it's much longer-term than most people will be in the market. We've talked about this before about Obama. The election is somewhat bullish on gold because he represents quite a bit of uncertainty. Many businesses are, you know, we just saw that report the other day where there's a number of larger corporations, larger businesses that have decided to not invest in future plants and future products and all the various things that would build a future plan because they're having trouble with the future. They're having trouble understanding where we're going to be with all the new changes that are certainly about to take place. Not only the, you know, fiscal cliff and all that, but the effects of Obamacare and the effects of the higher tax rates and so on everyone, which it is on everyone. It's not just on the rich. I mean, don't fool yourself if you think that he's just taxing the rich. He's not, because they're just going to pass it on to you and I. And it will be noticeable. Believe me, it will be noticeable. The rich didn't get that way giving things away. They get that way by, you know, acting shrewdly and wisely and so on. And when their taxes go up and when they are put into a position where they make less, you might think, well, they're just going to make less and just figure, well, that's just the way it is. That's not how they think. they're going to pass that on to people who utilize or buy their product. Very much like, given the example, very much if you're a landlord and somebody raises the cost to you, you're going to pass that on to your tenants as best as you can. That's economics 101. And so the whole premise that I'm going to leave the middle class alone and just go after the rich is just a bunch of nonsense. The rich are going to raise the prices in their business. They're going to make changes to adjust for those taxes. And you might be surprised to see that that's going to affect, you shouldn't be surprised, but that will affect the prices that we pay, the middle class pays in their ordinary day-to-day living. May not be immediately noticeable, maybe it is, but that's the way it rolls. I mean, this is just, you know, this is just what our president wants to do. He just feels that that's very important. What will be interesting is to see if they do come to a compromise, because remember when rich meant that you were like a millionaire?
Mm-hmm.
Remember that? I remember the good old days when a millionaire meant you were rich, and you might joke and say, well, yeah, now it's a billionaire. No, now it's 250. Now it's 250,000. That's where the rich starts from. So isn't it interesting how they've cleverly lowered the bar so that the people who are now the big boys are the people who make more than $250,000 a year. And you may say to yourself, well, wow, you know, $250,000 that's a lot of money to make, but it actually covers quite a number of small businesses that gross more than $250,000 a year. And yet, you know, they're going to be affected by this tax. And $250,000 in today's day and age is not what $1 million used to be. We didn't have that type of deflation or inflation, whatever you want to call it. So that's the new new millionaire is the $250,000 guy. The guy that makes $250,000 is the new millionaire, and as far as our tax code is concerned. So we'll see. What's interesting, though, is that whether it's going to be $250,000 or whether it's going to be $400,000, that maybe they come to some kind of compromise. And I honestly, I would be very happy if I saw that there was some compromise, that some balance, some deal where maybe it's people who make $750,000 or $500,000 or maybe $1 million, whatever it is, where the taxes go up. The president isn't going to want that. I think if he makes any kind of deal at all, the idea is going to be that it's going to be a slight bump above $250,000 at all. I think he's going to hold firm to that. I don't think he's going to let that go. But that will be interesting to see if he does give any leeway to that. Maybe it's $350,000, you know, people who make $350,000 and up and et cetera. That won't be affected by the people that will be affected, I'm sorry, that would be affected above, that make more than $350,000 a year. And in the end, all of that arguing, we've got much, much more important problems than figuring out how to penalize the rich in a very, very difficult period of time here, because all of their taxes are not going to run the government for more than about 6 days. So we have much, much more serious problems than going out and doing this. But this is a really important thing to this president, even though it practically has no real impact on any of the problems we have. He feels it's very necessary to make a social statement on behalf of people who don't make $350,000 a year, because he is a divide and conquer mentality. And that's why the country is so divided up over this guy, because this is how he rolls, is he divides and conquers. So, you know, he's going to do this even though it makes no real difference to the United States government. They waste that amount of money, you know, every few hours in many cases. So all the money there that he's been fighting over and talking about campaigning has really been just as a means of dividing the population and trying to anger one group against another. And how do you like that? How do you feel about living with a president who wants you to hate, be angry with, be upset with another group? Another, you know, isn't that the same as being angry or hateful against people of race, of color, of ethnicity, of anything? But that's, you know, he's one of the biggest guys that wants to protect people against that, but he ran an entire campaign on dividing people, separating people, and angering people against others, about people who were successful against the people who might not be as successful. And the country really didn't want to hear that at first, and the message got repeated many, many times. And so now he has to fulfill that whole deal, even though it has nothing to do with anything in reality for our government. It's not going to do the government any good. Whatever taxes they take from the rich will not even run the government, especially if it goes up to over $350 or $500. It's not going to run the government for more than a few days. That's it. It's just fulfilling a promise for the people who wanted to see him spank the successful people. And America is not going to ever be the same again until someone is in office that doesn't have the perverse need to punish the very success that brought America to where it is today. And that's what this guy wants to do. And the reason he wants to do it is because the larger group of voters are the people who aren't making that kind of money. So it's just the way it has to be. If you want the largest group to vote for you, you need them to rally around you, and you do that old Chicago style by pointing your finger at a group that you're going to fight against on behalf of those people, those middle-class people. You've got their back. I just want to help the little guy. That whole thing. So that's what he's done. And so all of this arguing, we're just wasting time going back and forth and negotiating about this tax increase, because it means nothing to the government in terms of income. If somebody wants to correct me, I'm open to hear what that is, but I don't think there's a correction to this. The facts are that you can tax them, and it's not going to make any difference at all. We have much, much more serious problems in the United States of America than spending the next several months negotiating over this one item, how the taxes are going to be for the wealthy, because it's not going to make a difference to the government. The government has a spending problem. It has an entitlement program problem. It has a visionary problem, vision meaning what it thinks, you know, where it thinks America should be. And about half of America likes what the government's doing. And what I'm worried about is that a certain percentage of them, whatever they are, is liking it because this government is setting people up for more and more entitlement. And all you have to do is look around and see what happens when people are given unearned benefits repeatedly. You get less productivity, you get less interest, you get less output, and before you know it, you know, the government is what, I guess, in his mind, if he had his way, if this administration had his way, have you ever asked yourself, what would America look like? Where would we be? If he could just, you know, we could fast forward it and he got all of his pieces in place, what the hell would this place look like? And I can tell you, it wouldn't look anything like it did when Bill Clinton was in office. It wouldn't look anything like it did when Ronald Reagan was in office. It would look a lot like Europe. That's what it would look like. By the way, you might want to check out what's happening in Europe. Just take a look over there and see what's happening over there. Because that's the road that, for whatever reason, he believes is the right way to go. So, anyway, I don't know how I got on that subject, but I tend to do that. So you can always just come in later in the program, and we'll be talking about markets, but... No, it's just too bad that we're going to waste a lot of time. America's got a lot of serious problems that have to be addressed. And I'd like to see some of them addressed in a more real way than saying, well, we're simply going to not spend future planned money. I want to see cuts now in what we are spending now. I don't want to just see cuts in the future expanded spending that we're going to do. I want to see them cut now. They'd never do that. You know, spending is not, they don't think spending's a problem. They really don't. And all of us are going to be heir to a country that has $22, $24 trillion in debt. You'll see. It's not that far off. It'll come much faster than you think. So
I know that many of you have a dissenting opinion, and you're more than welcome to come on. And I think Paul may be trying to get logged in now. He said he would like to come in and talk about the other side, the other opinion.
I'd like to hear the other side, even though he knows I'm right. I'm welcome to listen to him.
Sure.
Just joking.
No, it's an open invitation for anyone. A number of you have typed in, you know, various comments about whatever. Is there anyone that would like to come on and just have a discussion and talk about the other side of the thing? I've given up talking about it because we've elected this president. He is going to be the president for the next 4 years. I'm not going to spend the next 4 years complaining or whining or moaning. I'm going to try to make the best of it. I'm going to try to be productive. I'm going to try to live the best life that I can live and do all the things. I'm not going to let that man in the Oval Office control my life. I'm just, you know, he may be able to tax me, he may be able to do all kinds of things to me, but God willing, I'm not going to let him ruin my day.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I'm pointing, and I've made that same point myself. I'm pointing out, though, with regard to the upcoming fiscal cliff and all the stuff that's happening now, what a waste of time the whole business of taxing the rich is right now, when we've got so many more serious problems, and that money isn't going to do us any good anyway. So, you know, I agree with you wholeheartedly. No matter who's in office. As a matter of fact, you know, before I got interested in politics, I had never had an interest until Barack Obama. Believe it or not, I never studied it, looked at it, had an interest in it until Barack Obama got into office. So, that was my, and I ran many different kinds of endeavors and, you know, ran through all kinds of different periods of time, not even giving a second thought to what their policies were, and just tell me what the taxes are, what do I have to pay, and then you get right back to your business. But, you know, this guy is polarizing, and he's in. You're right, he's in, and we will deal with it, we'll manage it, et cetera. Just commenting on the news, though, that we do have the upcoming fiscal cliff, and it's going to be interesting to see how they title, you know, the rich. you know, whether they're the 250 guy, the 350 guy, or the $1 million guy, and so on. So if you, Dwayne, if Paul would like to come in, you know, no one's
going
to jump.
He was going to. He was just listening to the audio stream, and he was communicating with me through the external chat app, and he said he was going to come in, so we'll give him a few minutes to see if he pops in.
Okay, and we can move on to some other markets while he's doing that. Let's do that. Okay, so let's see. I don't know if you have anything on Facebook, Dwayne. I don't have any need to address it.
I haven't looked at it today, and there weren't any headlines, so I didn't look at it.
Anybody who has Reflected Wave knows about yesterday's Reflected Wave November 19th top for this market. They're responding to that, and I don't have much to add to it, but that we'd normally expect a multi-day reversal off of that. We talked, if you want to take a look at the U.S. Treasury bond market, we had forecast, or Reflected Wave had forecast, the week of November 12th as the next important weekly top for that market. And I joked and said, you know, you could go in and just go get your loan right now because the bond market is going to have a multi-week decline off of the November 12th weekly top. And that, of course, would make interest rates go higher. So take a look at the bond market. They're down pretty substantially here over the last several days for this week, right off of the November 12th top. A decent trade if a person wanted to take a trade off that. We didn't issue one off that, but this is a great example of that methodology, just an ordinary example of that methodology at work. Okay, let's see.
The soybean
here.
Tweet, guys, that thing has ran up now to 14.15. So for any of you that took part in that, congratulations, that worked out well. Paul is here, so hang on just a second, Paul. And let me find you over here. There you are. Okay, Paul, I'm getting ready to unmute your mic or headset, whatever you're on. So when you come on, just, you know, introduce yourself so we have an idea of who you are, maybe where you live, how long you've been listening to the show. And then we'll be happy to listen to, if you're hearing two voices, Paul, then what you have to do is you have to turn the speakers down on your computer. If you're on a telephone, or if you've put on a headset and you have another computer going, or perhaps you have two windows open. Okay, so fix that. It's just like when you call into the local AM radio station, the guy's always telling you, hey, you got to turn your radio down. So that plays out here as well. I'm going to go ahead and unmute your mic, Paul. Paul, welcome to the show.
Can you hear me? All right.
Hi, Paul.
Hello.
Oh, okay, we can barely hear you. Sounds like you might be a little far away from the mic, or maybe you need to turn up the volume on the mic, or are you using a telephone?
No, I'm not using a telephone. I'm using a mic here right by my head.
Okay, now you just
getting
started,
a little better.
You started to warm up there, so we can hear you a little better now.
All right, I just have to talk a little louder, I guess.
Okay, very good. Well, how are you, Paul? What part of the country are you in?
I'm in California.
Okay. Well, great. We're sure glad to have you with us.
We just passed the tax increase to pay for all our goodies out here.
Oh, you know, California, Paul, it's a great place. It's just that it's bankrupt.
Well, actually, there's some mutual funds, some ETFs on California munis that are paying about 6.5%, and they've been paying approximately that rate for the last 5 years, just flat.
So that's impressive.
So I guess the people that manage those get the ones that are strong, and they just, amazingly enough, don't take any hits. We do have a couple of bankruptcies. You probably heard about those.
Sure.
I just wanted to comment, David. I wish you would listen to Frontline last week. Frontline went over what the wealthy are doing back when the last major tax code went through the U.S. in changing the tax rates by the federal government in 1986. They were paying basically a good portion of their income to that. Over the next 10 years, they lobbied very successfully to reduce tax rates. And now the wealthy 1% and the highest 0.1% as per Frontline last week, they're paying an average of 14% of their income. And their income is very substantial, in excess of 20% of the total income in the entire United States.
Uh-huh.
And, I think Romney was on to something where he said, you know, we don't even have to raise the tax rates to create more money in fact, he suggested something that was idiotic in my mind, because we have a very large income gap in this country between what the federal government takes in and spends, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
And to lower taxes on the wealthy people that are paying an average of 14% was, in my opinion, absurd.
Yeah.
It didn't make sense.
And, right.
To raise the effective rate on that group was, in my mind, made all kinds of sense. Now, they did give a very simple example that I'm sure you've heard of, and that is a hedge fund manager who lives, he spent a long time with a book out on 740 Park Avenue that is that holds, that's a building, and it has something like 50 different apartments, and it has the highest percentage of billionaires of any building in the country. And one of them is, I believe, a hedge fund manager. I think Blackstone is that. That's the one. And he pays 15% maximum because he's got a wonderful deal thanks to Lavi. He gets to delay his payment, and because of the payment being delayed, he gets a maximum tax rate of 15%. And it pointed out that he's got the Democratic senator from the state of New York in his hip pocket, as well as the other hedge fund managers, and the senator just makes sure they pay him a ton of money. And lobbying fees, and whatever, just contributions, not lobbying fees, just outright contributions to his re-election campaign. So he has actively been very efficient in not letting that tax rate be increased. Now, for other people that don't have these loopholes, that make even less money than $1 billion a year, have to pay at higher rates. And I think it would have been really educational, maybe, that's the word I want, for you to hear programs like this that don't get on Fox, get on typically PBS, which are willing to talk about these things. Moyers has a great program weekly on Friday and repeated Sunday in the Los Angeles station. And he talks about the kind of thing, as well as the election, PACs that can give from so much money to influence elections, and how they do it. And actually, in many cases, speak directly to the candidates, which is supposed to be prohibited by the laws, but they don't follow them. Anyways, I wanted to point those things out.
That's fair enough, and we appreciate
David,
hearing.
David, keep talking about the fact there's no money to be made by taxing the wealthy, and you know this is absurd. The wealthy earn 1% earn in excess of 20% of the income of the entire country.
They do, Paul. But
now, I don't
they do.
If expected rate is, but, you know, there are a lot of people that pay higher. That don't
right. Many.
Access to all those loopholes that, you know, various people do.
Right. Many of these, the whole issue about the fairness of the tax and so on, much of this has to do with having to reform the HOTAX program because many of these people that are paying 14 and 15% are doing so completely lawfully. It's not a big, deep loophole. They're making money off of capital gains. That's their capital gains tax rate.
I want to point out that the successful Republican candidate for the Republican position of president nominee began the original debates. I don't know if you watched those.
I did.
The whole position was that the capital gains tax rate should be zero and the dividend rate should be zero for all people in the U.S., which was, of course, would have been quite beneficial to him since he gets a lot of money in dividends and capital gains. Now, there are those people that say that that should be it. And, in fact, in many states of this country, capital gains rate is zero. So it's not like it's a weird thing to say. I think something like 20 states have no capital gains rate.
Right.
They have a zero rate on capital gains. But would that be a fair thing? Some people think not.
Mm-hmm.
Hey,
well,
Paul, I want to thank you for calling in. We appreciate hearing the other side of the conversation. We are having some difficulty hearing you. If you could join us again on another occasion, we'd very much appreciate that. We truly want to hear your opinion, but we're having a extremely difficult time. Maybe the next time you call in, Paul, if you
call
maybe
in.
Dial in as
yeah.
opposed to using the headset. That way we'll get a nice, crisp, clear sound from you because I know that many of our listeners do agree with your side of the issue. And so would you do that? Would you try to call in perhaps tomorrow or Monday next week? Yeah, it's still very muffled, Paul. But if you can, in fact, if you want to dial back in today, that would be fine. But folks, let's hear it for Paul.
Thank you very much for taking.
Thank you, Paul.
And best to you personally.
Thank you, Paul.
Thanks,
it was nice
Paul.
To hear from you.
You know what, guys, let's hear it for Paul, who, you know, he got out from behind his keyboard and actually came to express his opinion. I would encourage more of you to do that, okay? I know you all have an opinion because you tippy-tap it in, but I'd love to have you come on and talk. Now, there was an interesting mm-hmm. comment just now from Barb. Hey, Barb, and you know, we never did get around to doing those, to doing the taxes that we were going to do that you had taken the time to put together. But Barb said that, here we go, let me get my chat app. There we go. Here we go. Barb said in the 50s, tax rates on the highest incomes were over 90%, and somehow we seemed to survive and prosper.
We did survive and prosper under very high tax rates, but it can't go on for long that way because people won't continue to do that. They'll move just like they have out of Europe, and many of the problems of Europe is that those high tax rates cause what happens is you get a smaller and smaller group of people who have to be taxed a higher and higher rate in order to pay for all the entitlement programs that government was putting out until finally the golden egg, those rich people, start diversifying and moving their businesses elsewhere. And to address Paul real quick, and then we'll get back here because the markets have been moving, you know, the tax rate, obviously the government gives people who have money incentives to spend that money on real estate, factories, buildings, equipment, etc., and they get tax depreciation and whatnot, all kinds of benefits once you have money, that once you start spending it, to encourage them to spend and to therefore help reduce their tax rate. Much of what you hear people complaining about is in the tax code. It allows people. Many of the listeners of this program may have rental or other types of properties, and you get to depreciate the property. You get an incentive to buy. You get all these things that happen as you become more successful. They want you to spend, they want you to, and they give you incentives to do so. So part of the problem is just the entire tax code. I was really just addressing today that no matter how big of the part of the economy they play, by every measurement, this tax that they're fighting over and spending all this time over will run the government for about 6 days or some very, very short period of time. We have much more important problems, is my argument, and that we also have an enormous spending problem. It's not just a taxing problem. We have an enormous spending problem that's going to have to be put into control. But once you start these programs, nobody wants them to stop because then there's groups lobbying, pressure, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, these people also are the job givers in many cases, and I think it's a poor choice of times right now to be going after them. I think it's more valuable to have the economy grow with jobs than it is to have people trying to figure out new ways to not have to pay the higher tax rate, et cetera. I'd rather have those people out there productive, looking for ways to buy the factories, to start things up and run businesses rather than having the government openly coming after them for what ostensibly is going to be, obviously is going to be a very small amount overall when we have much more serious problems. But no, it's wonderful to hear from somebody from the audience. While we were talking on the phone, or while he was on the call there, I had mentioned earlier that Wednesday, we have the natural level of 72, and the market today is really, this is Tuesday, tomorrow's Wednesday, and so today they just swung down and made a low of 74. So it's very likely we're going to see that natural level get reached that we talked about earlier. So this, again, the news often precedes these things. Bernanke speaking, he probably said something that had something to do with the market's movement here. We're talking about the S&P now. And they've dove down, and this will likely see the completion of the 72, which it's a natural price that would be due on Wednesday, like we mentioned earlier. But, you know, again, with the market and the quietness and all that stuff, you want to be real careful with it. It was a nice move down, though. I'm glad to see that the market has some volatility here. And, Dwayne, if you want, we'll move through the other ones real quick here, see if we can get any final ideas out on a few of these markets.
Okay, sounds good.
Yeah, let's do that. Okay, so where were we? We had gone over gold. We were about to talk a little bit about the euro. Let's take another look at that. We had gone through Facebook, the daily top, the weekly top, and the bonds.
Here's
you know,
the
selling
euro
off
right
now.
Here.
And then we have today is, let's see. Yeah, so we have the euro. We had forecast a bottom on the week of November 12th, and as you know, we forecast a top as well. This is reflected wave for the bond market. So these are two markets that sort of run counter to each other. We're looking for higher prices still in the euro, and they've come very close to our first initial target. They have not reached that yet on the upside, but they've come relatively close to it, but we are expecting higher prices. Remember last couple days and during last week and this week, I've mentioned the euro that you can buy this for higher prices. We have a roadmap out on it, and we'll continue to watch and see how this plays out. There may be more that we can add to this tomorrow. We'll all be on tomorrow, but it's probably going to be pretty quiet tomorrow. Let's see, and I think right now that's everything that we have. For those of you who have a reflected wave, you know about the crude top, the daily top in crude. We don't have to go into too much detail about that.
Anything on soybeans?
Let's take a look. Oh, real quick on Tesla. They've continued to move higher here. Of course, today it's a inside day or somewhat inside day here on Tesla. Let's take a look at the soybeans. I don't have anything right now on soybeans. We probably could have something. We just haven't been watching it as closely. We did upgrade our charts. The biggest thing that we have for the soybeans is that several months back on the program, we talked about the quarterly top that we thought was going to occur in this market and that a quarterly close last quarter below $16.63 would be an early indication that that quarterly top was in. We'd be looking for a multi-quarter decline. So they did close the quarter below the critical price of 1663. They closed the quarter at 1601. So the market has continued on lower here. They've had a very, very good decline off of that. I know, Dwayne, you've had a couple of trades in this market yourself on the way down here. And if you want, if you want to repeat what you've got going here.
No, the only thing we had was just a tweet today. Actually, we put it out yesterday to be long above 1404, and we've hit a high today of 1416, so pretty good little run up. It looks like it may have run into some difficulties up here. So we're still trading 1412, so anybody that got into that at the 1404 mark, you know, 8 cents on a day like today, that's equivalent to 8 points in the ES. That's a great day.
Yeah. Yeah. $50 per point, just like the ES.
That's right.
So.
That's right. There was a comment from Bill here, back just for a minute to the discussion, to show the nonpartisanship of the issue of the 50s tax rates were policy of Eisenhower. What pulled us out of the recession was the JFK tax cuts.
Yeah, I mean, just
in
general,
I
appreciate him saying that. I mean, just in general, the rich are not going to work really, really hard to give 90% of their income to anybody. Period. It's that plan may have, you know, it survived the 90%. We survived the 90%. That's good for us. But we're in a situation right now where unless somebody is suggesting that we go significantly higher in those rates, I don't see poor people or people who don't have much giving other people jobs right now. I hate to be so blunt, but it's the people who have the wherewithal to and the vision to start a business, to give other people jobs, or to maintain a business, to give other people jobs. It's not that I'm against them paying more. I'm not. I just think it's a preposterous chase to go chasing after 6 days worth of the government when we have financing 6 days of the government when we have zillions of other problems that are really very serious problems that need to be resolved, and that includes spending problems as well. Why put all the job producers on the run? Why make those people feel like they've said they feel, which is that they're frightened to open new businesses, open new factories, and so on, because they don't see they see uncertainty. We talked about it with Steve Wynn out here. He's a billionaire, but he has projects that he does not want to take on because he doesn't know what the government is going to do next with regard to putting a bullseye on his back, because he's the target. You know, he's the wealthy. And we need a whole different kind of viewpoint to get people back into the stream of wanting to work together, and have everyone get involved in this and not just have one group angry at another group in spite of whatever the dollar figure is that the rich pay and so on. Those people need to feel these are people who are looking for opportunities, but they're turning opportunities down now because of the nature of the government and the nature of how the government programs are coming out and the policies of the government. So that's my big thing. I'm not Mr. Pro Rich and leave them alone, and Mr. Far Right. I'm not that guy. What I am is a guy that says this is a subject that is practically ridiculous to be speaking about right now when we have problems 1,000 times larger than whether or not we can run the government off rich people's increases in taxes for 6 days. I think we've got much, much bigger problems that we have to deal with in order to make the whole system work again. The whole system, not just, you know, some little part of it, but the whole business of America getting back on its feet through this recession or depression or whatever it was. So, just my opinion. Okay, so let's see. We'll move on here. Thank you for the comment that you made there. Groupon, we've talked about a number of these. I don't think there's much else really going on here, Duane. The corn market rally is rallying here today up again. Natural gas, you know, we had the little trade in natural gas the other day. We won't even bother going into that, but they're advancing off of those levels. And gosh darn, I wish there was more. I think the main thing for me anyway is the S&P. I like what I'm seeing here with the decline. And like I said before, we've gotten down to 74. We were looking for 73 into tomorrow as a natural level, and the market, which I mentioned earlier on the program, and the market dove down just now off of probably off of Bernanke's speech here.
There's a question from Alan for you. Does hitting 1388 negate David's outlook for today? I'm not sure what outlook that was.
Well, I'm not sure what outlook he's talking about. The only thing we had mentioned earlier is that we want to be really careful because it's very quiet, but that the 73 level was important, 72 was important into Wednesday, but that we'd be cautious utilizing it. The market looks like it's going to go make it. The 88 was important. Apparently, that's going to be it for the day on the upside. That's a level that we would have shorted if we would have been able to get a little bit further test of it. They just were not able to quite do it, and the volatility at that time was very low. You'll see that a lot. The market will rally up to a level. You know it's an important level, but the volatility, if it's really quiet, they just really don't have it in them to really test very much, and that can imply weakness in the market. But it sure makes it a little bit more difficult to get in because a lot of times we like to trade right at those critical levels if we can. And in this particular case, they didn't get to the number. They got to 87.50. And although it is only two ticks away, in the reality of trading, it's much more comforting to see the market actually touch the level, test it, so that you can see that the level is operative rather than, you know, after the fact saying, well, look, you know, they got within two ticks and they reacted off of it. But in practical purposes, it would be difficult to trade that unless you wanted to be more aggressive. And there are plenty of good aggressive traders out there that might have taken advantage of that. I'm not one of them. My trading style is much more, there's more confirmation involved. And a lot of times that means that you don't necessarily get all the move or sometimes any of the move. So I would have liked to have traded this down into the 73-72 level, but it has to be my way for me in order to trade it. And so, it looks good after the fact. Yeah, they had a nice dive down, but for practical trading purposes, this is a mistrade. So
does that answer your question, Alan? Yeah, he said thanks.
Oh, okay, good. And I think, Dwayne, that's all we have for today. other than complaining about the president and the policies and all that, that's all we have. Tomorrow, I think, will be interesting, at least in the first few hours, to see what the market does. Most people are going to be off. You know, they're going to be taking the whole weekend off. It's going to be very quiet until next week. And I will, now that they've done the 72, I wouldn't mind throwing in a couple other things maybe that might be of interest to people.
Okay.
Since that has been completed, this might be of some use. First of all, the natural level is 72 for November 21st. So they've gotten down to 74. You know, it's plus or minus dollar. I think it's very, very likely you'll see that number into tomorrow or lower. That's number one. Number two, there's a couple other interesting levels that I think, one anyway, that I think would be important to keep your eye on. One of which would be, and I would be careful trading this, so this is because of the holiday and everything else, so please understand that. But the next one below is actually, believe it or not, 64 to 63. Now, these are levels that are not going to be the same necessarily as ordinary support and resistance, and maybe they are. Maybe they fit right in with those. But for November 21st, the first level of importance basically has been completed. And with continued break, I would be interested in trading it to test or attempt 64 to 63 on the downside. And don't worry about any numbers in between. So, in other words, it's basically from 73, there's basically a 10-point move from there to the next level. Now, the only reason I'm mentioning this is because, you know, it's going to be quiet, and it may not happen all in one easy trade. I'm just mentioning the number because if somebody wants to be more aggressive with it, they might be able to get something out of that into the 21st, plus or minus a day. Today is the minus day, right, because today is the 20th. So tomorrow is the 21st. So first level is the 72, and then below that continued break would bring us down to a test of 64.63 into November 21st. So obviously, there's a relationship there to the where we are in the calendar and so on. So that's why I'm mentioning it now. And we won't be here. The market will trade somewhat between Thursday, Friday, and then probably Sunday into Monday, like you mentioned earlier. So there'll be possibly some opportunities here. One thing with regard to this, I think a weaker close, if somebody said to me, what would be a weaker close today? I think it would be weaker to close, roughly speaking, below 80. And by more than, say, 2 points. you know, make this plus or minus 2 points. If they close right at 80 or right in that zone, then you just have to trade it tomorrow and see if you can get a further decline, you know, for the test of 72 and then possibly the further break. But if we do close below 80 today, I think that's important. And that would show for me, that would tip the scales a little bit on the weaker side. So maybe that'll be useful to you in putting a trade together here. So there, that's basically it.
Alrighty, David. Yeah, we got a nice little bounce here off the 74.75. Gosh.
Yeah.
And that had to have come from something. I agree that Bernanke said, although he's done now. There was also a big announcement last night from the Bank of Japan. And I had a tweet out on the yen. It was sort of a, it was almost like an I dare you kind of a thing. It was, let's see, what chart can I use? I guess I can use this chart. The yen has just gotten, 6J. I saw a headline that said the markets rallied incredibly off of this news from the Bank of Japan, which was supposed to be some big news, and I don't even know what the news is. So I went to my chart to look to see if maybe the thing got triggered, and I don't know, that doesn't look like much of a rally to me. Let me go to the daily to put it in perspective, because it was a larger time frame type of trade. Let's go daily. This thing's been just, phew. And in fact, on the tweet last night, I said, "Is it possible?" Yeah, what did I say? What did I say? Last night I also took my first stab at live cattle. Man, you should have seen, you should have seen the mess. Get it? My first stab at live cattle. You should have seen the mess.
Yeah, I got it.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, it wasn't bad.
It hasn't been. Well, it's not up to your standards.
No, of course. I mean.
Now, let's see, on the yen, where did that go? Can the yen go any lower? Anything's possible. If it doesn't, consider being long above 124. And, yeah, 124 is way up here. And this thing is just continuing to drop. Does anyone know what the news was from the Bank of Japan? You can type it in real quick. I don't have to go search it. Maybe somebody already knows. Larry, I fixed that issue for you, so you should be okay now. But look, I mean, this is, I don't even know what the Japanese yen pays per point. Do you, David?
It may be 1250, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's probably about right. So this has been, I mean, their economy's been hurting for, what is it now, 15 years?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that about right?
Mm-hmm.
And so this, you know, and they took their interest rates down to zero. That didn't fix the problem at all for them.
Mm-hmm.
They're still dealing with it, and right here. So that trade's not going to trigger today, guys, so don't sit around waiting on that one.
Yeah.
All right. I guess if that's all you got, that's about all we got.
Well, it is all I have for today. I will be here tomorrow, Dwayne. I'm sure I know you will be as well.
Yeah.
And for people who might be talking about taking the whole day off, it might be interesting tomorrow just to watch a little bit of the market, maybe come into the program just for a little bit. There might be something of interest. Or if not, then just hope everybody has a wonderful Thanksgiving weekend with your family and everything else. But we'll be here tomorrow along with Dwayne, and it'll be interesting to see where we are. I do want to mention we do have a webinar today for those of you who are interested in our upcoming March 16th and 17th Reflected Wave seminar at the Mirage Hotel here in Las Vegas. This webinar today is at 1:30 Pacific time, 15 minutes after the S&P closes, 3:30 Chicago time. And we'll go over some of the recent turns, some of the tops and bottoms that have just recently occurred in the markets based off of Reflected Wave. The top, as an example, in the U.S. Treasury bond market that we talked about for the last 2 weeks for the week of November 12th. Very easy and very classic setup in Reflected Wave. Reflected Wave is a methodology that allows you to have another edge on the market. There's many, many different kinds of edges you can have. An edge meaning your ability to have a high probability thing setting up in front of you. And so to me, the more of those that you thoroughly understand and can put in that tool belt, the better off you're going to be, because the market is going to give you a number of different setups on any given week, on any given month, on any given year. And if you have more of those in your tool belt, you'll find yourself being able to trade effectively in more situations. And that's really what we're looking for. Is it's one thing to say, well, and to be honest, and honesty is what this whole thing is all about for yourself, because you can't fool yourself. You can fool yourself, but it's very expensive to fool yourself in trading. You want to be straightforward with yourself and say, you know, what is it that I know? And these are the things right here. Remember a long time ago we talked about the idea of if somebody came up to you, me or anybody else, and said, well, what exactly do you know about trading? What can you actually tell me about the markets? What would you say? What is it that you actually know? It might not be a bad idea for you to sit down and find that out for yourself and ask yourself, what is it that you know? It'd be a good idea to write down what it is that you know about the markets. You know, not what you might have told people or, you know, things like that. What you actually know about market movement, about technical analysis, about trading off the news, whatever it is, take stock of that and don't let it, you know, if it's a small amount, don't worry about it. If it's really a lot, don't worry about it. Whatever it is, get to know what it is you know, because you might find, first of all, that it's interesting to see, to really take inventory of what you know, not what you think you know, because there's a big difference, trust me, between what you think about your own self, and this is true for everybody, and what's actually there in most cases. Some people grotesquely underestimate themselves, and some people grotesquely overestimate themselves. Either way, you want to know what the actual condition of yourself is with regard to the markets. And once you have that foundation down and say, well, these are the three things I know, or these are the two things, or these are the five things, then you can start from there, and just that alone clears the air beautifully, just to be able to say, this is really what I know right here. That's it. Because if I ever meet you and you ever say to me, well, I'd like to get some help, I can assure you the first thing I'm going to sit down with you and say is, well, what do you know about the markets? I'm not saying that to you as a teacher. I'm asking you just as a regular person, what do you know? What do you know about the markets? And then you would go on to tell me what you know about the markets. Well, you don't need me or anybody else there. You can go over that yourself, and I think it's a very, very wise thing to do, to take inventory of your actual trading knowledge and put that down in a piece of paper, write it, and then as you continue to learn other things or other angles on what you do know, write that down. And before you know it, you'll have a really nice little trader's diary, if you want to call it, or a book of what it is you should title it, What I Know About the Markets by fill in your name. And there it is. And then you'll know what you know. And a lot of people don't know what they know, but you will. And that will help you once you know what you know. So you can start putting that to work, and it helps just to go over it. You'll have some clarity on some subjects that you may not be so clear on. I just tell you a really brief story, then I'll get out of here. Many, many years ago, I was at a different office, and a trader, somehow, I don't remember how we met, but he may have come to the office. I don't remember how and why, but he invited me to his home trading studio. And I was very interested to see. This is back in the 90s. So one day I drove over there. It was in a decent neighborhood. And he had a garage filled with literally there might have been 40 monitors in the garage. I've never seen anything like this. And he had a girl there that was calling. A news caller. I mean, he had a whole thing going on in his garage. And he had three or four people that he had with him. And so I was watching him, and he was telling me about all the tickets and the, you know, there's comps that the brokers give people if you're a big trader, and they do things to keep you happy, just like any business would. And I was pretty surprised, really. I mean, I was thinking, wow, this is really, you know, it's pretty impressive. The guy's got, he must know what he's doing. He's got 40 or 50 screens up and all this stuff. So anyway, I asked him, I said, well, what kind of methodology do you use? Because I was coming from a completely technical thing. And he said to me, I've been doing this so long that I just know. And I took him at his word. I really just thought to myself, well, that's, you know, he must know a lot if you just know. Mm-hmm. You know, I've been doing this so long that I just know. I remember it was something very close to that. Anyway, to make a long story short, and it wasn't even a long story, to be honest with you, I, you know, thanked him for inviting me over and all that stuff. And I just figured, well, here's a guy that just has the knack for it. Well, maybe 8 or 10 months later, I was really surprised to see him come back to my office. And, I mean, I don't know that I would have done this, but he came back to my office to tell me that he had to shut his trading business down. And I didn't want to press him too much on it because I know how difficult that probably was for him. But he did say, he said, we didn't get it right or whatever it is that he said. He said something about, you know, he gave me a reason for it. So those people that had been working with him and his screens and all that stuff, I suppose they were all shut off. And so that struck me pretty hard because I saw a guy that I thought really understood what he was doing. But when I asked him what he knew, and I wasn't doing it as a test, this is all part of my growing too. And I said, well, what is it that you use? In fact, anybody would probably ask that question. I don't think it was anything unique. He says, I've gotten to the point where I just know. And honestly, when I think back on that, I don't think he really knew. I think he didn't know what he knew, and I think he had just sort of coalesced a bunch of vague notions into I just know. And that it maybe if he did know what he knew, he could have done better. I don't know. But it struck me, and that's why one of the things I currently say to people is, what do you know? Because I went through an experience with a guy who told me he knew, and he just knew. And I don't know if I ever sat him down, if I ever said to him, what is it that you just know? Why don't you lay it out for me what it is that you just know? Tell me. And I don't know what he would have written down. I really don't. I would be willing to bet that he wouldn't have had a whole lot to tell me about what he really knows, about high probability setups and so on. So it's really a good idea to know, to get familiar with what you say you know and what you think you know about any subject. But the market, since we're trying to make money, we're trying to do it correctly, we're trying to manage our risk and do all those things, what do you know? If you write that down, write a little book called What I Know About the Markets, you can add to that book as you start to know more things, and then you won't be forgetting some of the good things you know. Because I can tell you that over time, you will forget some really good little gems that some, oh, yeah, now I remember that. Well, if you'll write that down, you'll have that there. And you can remember, you won't have to remember, you'll have everything written down in front of you. And then later, if your son or daughter or somebody wants to know what you knew about the markets, you can hand it to them. I wrote a book about it, What I Know About the Markets. And, you know, published in a little nice little book there for them, and you can hand that over to them, and they'll know what you know or knew or whatever, and you can go on from there. But it makes a big difference. A lot of people don't think that's the case because they've got it in their head, and they just know. Well, I got news for you. I have some evidence that if you talk like that, maybe you don't know. And so you need to be the judge of that and check that out. It has done wonders for me, and I write everything down. I write when I come up with a new idea, I don't want to let it slip away. I think, well, I'll remember that. That's an easy one. No, you won't, especially past 55. So you got to write it all down. And after a while, it starts to coalesce, and seeing it on a piece of paper, forcing yourself to write it down will make a difference in your execution of the things that you know. So try that. See if that isn't a helpful hint. And that's all she's saying, Dwayne.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
That's what she said. There was a blog post the other night, guys. He's worded it slightly different than I had worded it the other night, but it boils down to pretty much the same thing to a degree. There's a little bit of difference. And you'll find it on Simple E-Mini Trading Part 3. Now, in Part 3, what I talk about is David said, what do you know about trading? And I worded it a little differently. I worded it as, what do you believe about trading? Because sometimes you get things in your head that you believe, that you build your house on, that you let become the foundation of what
right.
you're doing, and they're not, and those things are not necessarily grounded in truth. It's something that you heard somebody say, and he had just enough swagger in his walk, and his voice was just deep enough that you took that thing and you wrote it on the tablet of your heart, and now you're living by it, you're driving the bus by it, and it is utter absurd foolishness.
Mm-hmm.
But because you haven't done that fearless and searching moral inventory of what it is you actually do believe about the markets, first you got to identify what it is you believe, and then the next step is, okay, now why do you believe that? If you believe it because you've lived it, because you've experienced it, because you've traded it, because you've watched it, perfect. Okay? But if you believe it, if it's part of who you are as a trader because some guy said it in a chat room or on a radio program or on a blog, then you need to be a little more careful the foundation that you put under your house or under your business. So I'm not saying that everything in your head is wrong.
No,
I'm just saying
no.
Identify what it is you do believe and then ask yourself, okay, now why do I believe this? And if the answer is, well, because I've seen it happen again and again and again and again. Oh, okay. Well, that's a really good reason.
That's a great reason. You should
run with that. So, yeah. I think Dave and I are both trying to get the same point across. We're just approaching it from a little bit different perspective. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, I remember, I just want to say one last thing. I remember, you know, this has to do with that, the thing about, you know, coming to, you know, unknowingly coming to conclusions that you just put away, and those conclusions actually begin to operate on their own. Like, you don't have to energize them and think about them. Once you've accepted them, a conclusion, it works. If you think it's true, it just works in your brain. And it's, you know, if you go into a room and there's a bunch of people sitting quietly, each one of those persons has all kinds of, you know, quote unquote truths that are operating in their mind unknowingly because they've accepted something as true, whether it's true or not, and it goes down underground and it goes to work. And it sort of dictates to them how they're going to act and so on. This happens in trading. I remember noticing that I had come up with, because these things will just pop into your head, I've noticed that I had certain ideas about risk and putting money on the line and that you should trade big and you should do this. And these were just conclusions that I had come to because of the swagger and because of the magazines and all that stuff. And these things were operating in me, costing me lots and lots of money and trades and grief because they were just there operating. It's like they didn't even mean me any harm. They were just wrong and I was operating under that. And so it really is good. It's a wonderful thing to keep yourself in line, to keep yourself a little trading book of what you know. And I'm telling you, I don't have anything else to offer you except if you were to sit down with me, I would want to find out what it is you know. And you can do that for yourself. You don't need somebody else by simply writing it down. Think of every little thing you know and what you're looking for and see if that doesn't help you clarify your understanding of what your edge is, what you know. And we don't have to hammer the point, but I appreciate you bringing that up, Dwayne. And I will, you know, someday I'll show you my whole, you know, I know seven things about them. Here's everything I know after 20 years. It goes one through seven. But whatever they are, you can put them to work and you can trade effectively with them. That's all you really have, even if it's just one thing. So, well, Dwayne, it's been interesting, and I'm delighted to be back here tomorrow with you. I'm looking forward to the holidays. And for those of you who don't come back tomorrow, I wish you guys a really, really nice Thanksgiving with your family, your friends, and so on.
Yes, David, have a great afternoon. We will come back tomorrow. It's probably going to be very quiet, but we'll find, I know if I know us, we'll find something to talk about.
We'll find something.
Yeah, we certainly will. And then it's going to be a nice long 4-day weekend. Turkey and family and friends and just a time to reflect and be thankful.
Thankful.
Absolutely. Well, David, I'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you, Dwayne. Thanks, everyone, for the questions and comments today. Thank you, Paul, for checking in. I like your boldness, and I'll see you guys tomorrow.
Yeah, we want more of that.
Yeah.
I didn't notice what time it was. All I know is that I fell in love with you. And if all my dreams come true, I'll be spending time with you.
Okay, guys, turns out that a bunch of you that wanted to take the free trial, I just sent you the wrong link, so, oops. I'll go through the list and try to see, if you go to click your link, and it doesn't work, if it says that deal is done, then just email me and go, hey, Mr. Fatfinger, you sent me the wrong link. I'll send you the right link. Fair enough? Okay. I'm going to go through the list and try to just straighten it out. If you got the free trial email that said the password was freedom, that's the wrong one. That was the week of Veterans Day. So I'll get you the right one before the live trading room opens tomorrow. Now, keep in mind, there's only one day left in this week, one true trading day. We will do the live trading room tomorrow, but we'll be closed Thursday and Friday for the holiday. We'll be back on Monday. But here's the deal. You'll still get 5 days in the live trading room. So don't let the holiday hold you up. In fact, this is really a great time to take the free trial, and let me tell you why. Okay? We're coming up on a 4-day weekend. We don't count the weekend against you on your free trial. So does 5 days become 9? It kind of does. If you sign up for the free trial, get your platform downloaded, get your charts running, get your data flowing, get your indicators indicating, you'll get tomorrow in the live trading room, but then Thursday and Friday and Saturday and Sunday, you'll have the platform, the charts, the indicators, plus you'll get 4 days in the live trading room next week. Tomorrow, one day, and then 4 days next week, but you have those 4 days in between to just kind of get used to the platform. Now, you might say, well, what good is that if the markets aren't open? Well, number one, you have historical data to look at, but two, there will be Globex trading over the Thanksgiving holiday. America's the only country that celebrates Thanksgiving. Now, there's expats in other countries that celebrate Thanksgiving, but it's not a national holiday in any country other than America. So the markets will be doing what markets do. Currency markets will be, you know, moving right along. So you'll be able to watch the markets trade on Globex, even though U.S. markets are closed. So for that reason, today's a very good day to take advantage of the free trial. If you have any issues as you go to download your platform, call toll-free 866-928-3310. I'm just going to put that in the chat box for you. 866-928-3310. Now, I'm going to put another number in the chat box for you. Okay? I want you to leave a holiday message at this number. Okay, I'm putting it in the chat box, but it's 415-857-5654. Okay, I'm sending it out to the entire audience right now. Okay, when you call that number, you're going to get the voicemail. And I'd like you to say, hey, this is Steve from South Carolina, longtime CFRN listener. I want to wish everyone a happy holiday season. That's one example. Make it your own. Say whatever you want. It's your 15 seconds to 2 minutes. Let's try to keep it to 2 minutes. I think the machine will probably cut you off after 2 minutes. And you can redo it a couple times if you need to. I think there's buttons for that. You know, if you're happy with your message, press 1. Right? Okay. So, because what we're going to do is we're going to have a Christmas channel. The CFRN channel will broadcast as normal, but we're going to have an additional channel that's scheduled to run from Thanksgiving Day until January the 15th. It'll be all Christmas music all the time. There will be Christian Christmas songs, and there will be contemporary Christian songs, your Burl Ives, your Frank Sinatra, you know, all of the stuff that evokes those wonderful Christmas memories. We were asked to do it in the past. We had not done it in the past. This year we're doing it. We're putting it on the CFRN Christmas Music Extravaganza 24/7 for, gosh, over a month. Almost, a month and a half from Thanksgiving Day till January the 15th. But the reason I want you to call and leave a holiday message is because when you leave that voicemail, it's going to record it as an MP3. And then I'm going to upload that MP3 to the radio server, and it's going to, you'll be listening to songs, and then all of a sudden, in between songs, you'll hear yourself come on the air and wish everybody a Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, Kwanzaa, whatever, you know. It's your time. Now, if you put something ugly, of course, I'm not going to put that on the radio. So be warm. Be genuine. If you have a prayer request, guys, I got to tell you something. A lot of great believers, great prayers listen to this radio station. So if you got a need, you know, put it out there. Just say, hey, I want to wish everybody happy holidays, and I have such and such going on in my life, or I have someone who's serving overseas in Afghanistan. I ask that you keep her in your prayers. Okay? You can do that. And you know what? There's people in this audience that will pray for you. There's power in prayer, and there's no distance in prayer. I learned that from my grandmother many, many years ago. Second grade education, aside from my wife, smartest woman I've ever known. Okay? True story. Oh, and my mom. Okay, the three of them. They're right there. It's neck and neck. All right. Don't want to get any pre-holiday hot water. Okay, so 415-857-5654. Call, leave a message. It'd be really nice. Okay? I think the emails are starting to pour in from people who said, dude, you sent me the wrong address. I see them coming in now. Okay. All right. I guess that's it, guys. I don't really have anything else to add. We had this one trading zone up on the screen today because it's the only one we really saw coming into play. That was the 1374.75. It did come into play. Market ran down and spiked it. Well, they didn't spike it. They touched it and ran right back up. It's what I call a touch-and-go landing. Now, over here, see this? This is on an hourly chart. Just kind of glided up through there. Now, if we went down to a smaller time frame, 5 minute or something, we would probably see a little bit of a struggle going on there. But looking at it from an hourly perspective, we just kind of cruised right on through. Anytime that happens, we expect price to come back and revisit that area for some consolidation. On this pullback for consolidation, we didn't really get any consolidation. We got confirmation that it is a good support area, but we didn't get consolidation. So that's something that I would watch for, because this thing did a touch and go. Now we have a zone overhead. In fact, we have two more overhead. I don't think we'll see the, I'm pretty confident we won't see the second one, but the one over, the one up at, 97.98. There you go. A little something for holiday. 97.98 overhead. And we tied that in to the swing trade that we put out Sunday, which was to go from 1365 to 1385. It did that. We actually got up to 87.50. But we threw on at the end, if you want to leave a little something on to see if we can make it to the next zone, 97.98, then you can do that. You know, just don't leave too much on, because you don't want a winning trade to turn against you and bite you. So it did something here that it's not unexpected. The fact that it didn't consolidate tells me that we're going to probably see this area again. So keep an eye out for that. And, of course, we have zones below that. And they could come into play tomorrow, depending upon any news that comes out. I don't know what economic reports are scheduled for tomorrow, but whatever they are, we'll talk about them tomorrow. For now, the market seems to be pretty content trading in this somewhat narrow range. I mean, we raced up into this area yesterday, and now we've got, 87 on the upside, 87.50. And although we came down and touched the zone, basically this kind of support area right across here, is at 78.25. So watch that. It's probably going to be quiet today, tomorrow, but we'll be here. So hopefully you'll come and hang out with us, spend a little time. Be sure and call the number. Leave a holiday message, okay? We want to hear from you. We want to hear your voice. We want to know what part of the country or the world that you happen to be in. Hey, this is Rajesh from Bangladesh, and I listen to CFRN, blah, blah. You know how they do. You do that, all right? Thanks so much for tuning in. Whoever you are, wherever you are, may God continue to richly bless you with His mercy and with His grace. And I'll see you at the bell.
Remember this. There is no greater return on investment than to see a human life changed and given hope. As always, pray hard and trade safe. Any financial information discussed on this show is simply the opinion of our host, Dwayne Reeves, his co-hosts, and guests. To learn more about trading e-mini futures or to take a one-week free trial in our live trading room, call 1-866-928-3310. 866-928-3310. Information discussed on this radio program should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell any security. Always do your own due diligence and consult with a licensed securities broker or financial planner before making any investment decisions.